cyber attacks are striking water systems. That story and more on H2O Radio's weekly news report. I'm Jamie Sudler.
I'm Franny Halperin, and it's This Week in Water.
On Tuesday, March 19th, the Biden administration warned governors that disabling cyber attacks are striking water and wastewater systems throughout the country.
A letter from EPA Administrator Michael Regan and National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan said attacks have the potential to disrupt the delivery of drinking water and impose significant costs on affected communities.
They cited two recent and ongoing threats that illustrate the risk. One involved actors affiliated with the Iranian Revolutionary Guard, which targeted and disabled technology commonly used at water facilities, where the operator had neglected to change the manufacturer's default password.
The second implicates a Chinese state-sponsored group known as Volt Typhoon, which the U.S. says is positioning itself to disrupt critical infrastructure in the event of geopolitical tensions or military conflicts.
Drinking water and wastewater systems are an attractive target because they often lack the resources and technical capacity to protect themselves. The Biden administration offered a list of actions utilities can take to reduce risk of malicious cyber activity, and the EPA is forming a Water Sector Cybersecurity Task Force to help water systems identify vulnerabilities.
Friday, March 22nd was the United Nations World Water Day, an annual event since 1993 meant to stress the importance of fresh water.
The UN released a report showing that 2.2 billion people live without access to safe drinking water, and 3.5 billion lack access to safe sanitation.
In poor and rural areas, the UN says that women and girls are the first to suffer when water is difficult to obtain because they carry the primary responsibility of collecting it. Also, a lack of safe sanitation leads girls to dropping out of school.
In many areas of Earth, water conditions are bad. In Mexico City, the supplies are at historic low levels from lack of rain. Some people, if they can, have to pay for a water truck to fill toilets. Parts of the city of 22 million people could reach day zero by June, where there won't be enough water to pump to the city even if the rainy season starts that month.
In Johannesburg, South Africa, reservoirs have shrunk from hot weather, and the city faces the collapse of its water system that could affect millions. In addition to the heat, crumbling infrastructure from decades of neglect is also to blame.
One of the worst droughts in the last 100 years has led to severe water shortages in Catalonia, Spain, including Barcelona. Reservoirs there are at about 16% capacity, causing officials to declare a drought emergency last month.
The growth of e-waste from discarded electronics like computers, cell phones, microwaves, and photovoltaic panels is staggering, according to a new report from the UN.
62 million tons of e-waste was generated in 2022. If you put all of it in tractor trailers and lined them up bumper to bumper at the equator, they would encircle the globe.
E-waste is expected to increase because of more consumption, limited repair options, shorter life cycles of electronics, and inadequate infrastructure to manage it.
Most of the e-waste ends up in landfills. About half of it consists of metals like gold, copper, iron, and also mercury, which is hazardous and can contaminate water systems.
Jim Puckett of the watchdog group Basel Action Network told CNN that manufacturers fail to take into account what happens to their products at the end of their lives.
He said that electronics companies have to be dragged kicking and screaming to make products that last. Instead, they hope they can sell us new ones as soon as possible.
And finally, it's officially spring, so many of us in the Northern Hemisphere are getting ready to visit garden centers. If you do go, you might want to check the new U.S. Department of Agriculture's Plant Hardiness Zone map describing how plants thrive by location. It's been updated for the first time since 2012, and, well, Things have changed.
Some cherished plants that once thrived in your yard may not do so well now, says Matt Casson of West Virginia University, because global warming has shifted zones northward so much that nearly half of the country is in a new one.
The zones are determined by an area's coldest average annual winter temperature, and each one represents a 10 degree Fahrenheit range, with zone 1 being the coldest to zone 13 the warmest.
The 2023 map shows a 2.5 degree shift from the 2012 version, and that the Central Plains and Midwest are heating up the most and the Southwest the least.
Putting a plant in the wrong zone can stress it, possibly shortening its life and affecting its growth and productivity. It could also make it more susceptible to disease. With milder winters, Casson says, southern insect pests and pathogens are expanding their ranges northward too.
While the new map might make it more challenging to garden, fear not. There are likely thousands of varieties of plants to suit both your interests and your hardiness zone. Just be sure to check the plant's label before you buy.
Support for This Week in Water comes from Keep It Colorado, which partners with conservation groups statewide to create a Colorado where people, lands, water, and wildlife thrive. Learn more at keepitco.org.